mentioned is we need screenshot moments with the king. And I want to just quickly read that verse to you. Feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. So there's moments in our lives when we wrestle with God that is holy moments. Moments that we bring ourselves to God and we are open for Him to speak to us and to bring those screenshot moments into our lives. Now I want to just quickly read these questions because I think it's quite relevant to us. Do you think Moses knew God would use him to become the leader he was when he was driven from the palace? Do you think that David knew he was going to be the greatest king of Israel when he was still tending the sheep? Do you think Mordecai knew that his family would be known as the family that saved Israel from total destruction? Abram had a dream from God. Joseph had a dream from God. There were screenshot moments in their lives in which God could take them to the promises that He had for their lives. Now, I just want to say to you this morning, that does not mean that each one of us know exactly the purpose that God has for our lives, and maybe even not yet. So, some of us get a glimpse of the vision from God about our future. Others never see the final destination until they've reached the destination. So sometimes we blindfoldly follow God, but we need His direction through these screenshot moments in our lives when we don't understand even what is the end destination, but there's a journey that God has called us to. Now, I say always that God did not call the Israelites for the promised land. He actually said to Moses, go to Pharaoh and ask him, let my people go so that they can worship me in the wilderness. Now, it's a different kind of worship than what we know. Do you agree with me? The worship that we know is what we did this morning. Sing songs to God. The worship that we understand to be the worship God is requiring of us is what Abram did when he took Isaac to the mountain. The time that God actually could, through a lot of sacrifice and obedience, be worshipped by the people that he had so that they can fulfill his purposes. So if God called us to worship him in the wilderness, that means that God is not just interested in the end destination where he's taking us, but he loves every part of this journey that we are walking with him so that we can fulfill life's calling every step of the way. But sometimes we are so focused on the future that we don't find the contentment in what God is doing right now. And the beauty of it is, as I said previously to you guys, the place where we can come in thankfulness and say, God, I don't see you even in my circumstances now, but one thing that I can admit that you are here. And at least I can say that you are looking after me and you are my provision. You are the rock, the salvation of my life. So if you look at David's life, he would in the Psalms so often just remind himself of the goodness of God. God, you are awesome. You are my shelter. You are my rock. In the midst of his circumstances, when Saul comes against him, he will find contentment within the bigger focus of God being the salvation of his life. So in this journey that we are walking, God is expecting us to every day be aware of his presence and understand it through spending time with him. Now, let me just read Mark chapter 3, verse 13 to 15. Now, I can just say it in context. Just that morning, Jesus was having a quarrel with some of the Pharisees about healing a man on the Sabbath day. And so he's coming from that, a lot of arguments and stuff. And then Jesus would go and spend quiet time with the Father. And then it says here in verse 13, and he went up on the mountain and called to him those whom he desired. And they came to him. And he appointed 12, we also named apostles, so that they might be with him. And he might send them out to preach and have authority to cast out demons. Now, as a child, I remember always focusing on, God, I want to cast out demons. And God, I want to preach the word of God. And I had these dreams, you know, in the ministry one day. You know, God, my mother at a very small age already told me, listen, you are the Samuel that God promised to me, and you will be in the ministry one day. So I always knew God is going to do something ministry-wise in my life. So I always, thinking about that, thought of the preaching and the awesome demons that's going to manifest, and, you know, those moments when you share the gospel. And one time when I spent time with God, God actually pinpointed this beautiful thing to me. He said, and he appointed 12, whom he also named apostles, so that they might be with him, and he might send them out to preach and have authority to cast out demons. So I just want to say to you, in this journey that you and I are taking with God, we find ourselves in the midst of a journey where God actually so wants to just spend time with us and share every moment of the experience with us, so that we can share and have him to speak into our lives. So when we get to the place where we find those screenshot moments, we must get to an understanding that as God walks the road with us, we keep on wrestling with him to get to his heart. And one thing that God convicted me of a few months ago is that he said to me, listen, I don't want you to just follow my hand. Because often we as Christians follow the hand of God and where he's moving, and we miss his heart. And in this journey, I can tell you, it's a lot of the times easy to see where God is moving and join him. You know, I've read this book when I just got saved about experiencing God. I don't know if you've read it, of Blackaby. Amazing book. You can really read it. The one thing that I was just challenged about is that it's not just good to get into the presence of God by following his hand and to join him, but you must understand his heart in what and why he's doing it. And that takes time in his presence, where you and I can sit down with him and wrestle it through with him. We don't get born knowing what exactly God called us to, but rather discover our wiring as we explore life and learn our limitations, likes and dislikes, and through pleasant or unpleasant experiences. And therefore, God gives us the opportunity to explore ourselves in the midst of the needs of this world. And I remember years ago when I was, I think in 2000, we asked Angus Buchan, an evangelist there in South Africa, to come to Franschhoek at that stage, to come and preach the gospel and to get people saved. And it was actually amazing. I went to his farm to go and just meet him, and before we bring him there. And I spent time with him, and as he took me back to the airport, him and his brother, he was all the time pinpointing to the communities that we were driving past there to the airport. And it was very poor communities with a lot of needs. And so every time he would ask me, so Hercules, are you called for this? And then as a young pastor, you would say, yes, yeah, no, I'm called for this. Uncle Angus, you know, I know this is what God has called me to. And then every time he would ask, and I don't know where he's heading with this. And just before getting to the airport, he would say to me, you know what? You've not been called to all of this. Because you are not God's total solution for the world. You have only a part to play. And as soon as you can discover your part, you will be able to find yourself in the midst of God's greater scheme of things. So I want to say to you this morning, each one of us have a contribution to make, but it's just a little contribution in the midst of God's greater scheme of things. As soon as you discover that place, you can find contentment within God's season and plans for your life. So Isaiah 64 is one of those verses that I get excited about this. If I hear the heart of the man, the prophet, 1-4. Oh, that you would rend the heavens, that you would come down, that the mountains might shake at your presence. This is Isaiah's desire. God, just come down and let yourself be known. As fire burns brushwood, as fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, that the nations may tremble at your presence. When you did awesome things for which we did not look, you came down, the mountains shook at your presence. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard or perceived by the ear, nor has the eye seen any God besides you who acts for those who wait for him. All the other religions have one problem. They don't have a God that is alive, that acts on behalf of his people. Now, I just want to say to you, we have a God that would act in sending his son to die for our sins so that we can have a personal relationship with him. His desire was for us to come so close that he would do anything from his side to bring us closer. And he would pay the most incredible price. And I want to say to you, when it gets to God acting upon his promises to his people, there's a desire from his part to actually come and speak into our lives. Now, for each one of us, there's a storehouse of provision being set apart the day when we've been born. There up in eternity. All the provision that we need to fulfill life's calling and promises is up there stored for each one of us so that we can just tap into it and fulfill God's plan and purpose. We sometimes wait so long for God to act. And we say, God, when you do this and this and this and this in my life, I will... Are you with me this morning? Are you still alive? Many Christians live lives of promise of one day I will do great things for God. I'm telling you, faith is now. God is saying to us, if you can't be content within what I'm giving you now, you will never be able to move into my promises that I have for you for the future. So faith is the action that you and I take in saying, God, I know that you've got a plan. I know that you've got a purpose. I know that you already gave me provision. But there's certain keys that I need to unlock the provision that you've already put aside for me so that I can fulfill life's calling. Are you with me? Woo-hoo. There's enough provision. Stop moaning and complaining that God is not coming through for you and that God has this awesome plan upon your life and he spoke it over your life. And God, I'm going to do it one day. Do it now because God has a plan and he's giving you the keys. But can I just say to you, whoever has the key has the power to unlock the door. But the keys does not come from man. Man-made keys always falls flat. And so often, we, through our own desires and own plans and own cleverness, try to unlock doors that God is not giving us. And as soon as we can get to God and ask him to give us the keys so that we can unlock heaven's doors, so that that provision can come, so that we can fulfill his promises, God can act upon his word and promises in our lives. Matthew 16 verse 19 says, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So God is saying, listen, I give you the keys but it must be the right keys. Are you with me? Don't take man-made keys because it's not going to work. But as long as you take the keys from me, I will be able to unlock the promises of your life. Are you with me? And so, we come to the place where often busyness or even, you know, man-made commitments hinders us to fulfill God's plan for our lives. And so the second thing that I want to mention after those encounters that you have with God is the one of letters to Him. And I want to just tell you a story about myself. I remember as a student, I had to lead a beach services, we call it in South Africa, for the South Africans here, Stranddienste. It's beach services, Christians going to the beaches in the summertime, and then you would, do all kinds of fun activities with the kids on the beaches all around South Africa, and then you would share the gospel. So it's an amazing time. We, together with the team, had this plan, and the team said, okay, we've got a problem here. How are we going to get this budget sorted? So I spent some time with God, and I remember one of the special moments in my life was when I said to God, God, I don't know how we're going to go about in this, but I know that you have called us to do this thing, and we're going to reach lots of kids. And so... God said to me, by His Holy Spirit, just write on a letter exactly what you want from me. And I've gone then and I've written all the things that I needed for that summer holiday. And I took it, put it in a glass bottle, and I threw it into the sea. You know what was so amazing about that? That settled something in my own heart about trusting and having faith in where God is taking me. Because that concluded a conversation between me and God. And never again I looked back in that holiday for any budget to be made. But God provided to even give to the next team that will come the next year. And I tell you, sometimes there's moments of conclusion, of commitment that you must make with God so that you can actually walk the road with Him. But do not make commitments that you cannot sustain. And I want to say that because I think a lot of us make commitments that actually we never get back to and fulfill making it with God. And that's the wrong way. But there is a place in which we get to God and say, God, honestly, I want to make a commitment. And baptism and, even salvation is such moments. Moments of commitments where we say, God, I've not just now decided to give my heart to you in front of a lot of witnesses. I actually want to conclude this commitment with you so that you can conclude the work that you've started in my life. And I want to say to you, it's so important that you and I get to moments like these where we can conclude things with God and come back to it every time around so that we can fulfill every promise that God has called us to. And then the third thing is being in step. Galatians 5 verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Romans 8 verse 4 to 5. That the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So first of all, we need encounters with God. We need to commit to God and His promises in our lives. And then we must be in step with where His Spirit is leading us. And this term, being in step, is actually a military term of just staying in step with a person that's walking in the platoon just with you, so that you miss this thing. but that you keep in step with that person and that you don't miss the mark. Your foot must be in the heel of the soldier in front of you. Okay, so it is mentioned so that you and I will come into alignment of God's greater promise for our lives. But you know what? God is marching forward. And we must align ourselves to get into step with where He's moving. So that brings us to a place of faith where we say, God, I don't always see the promises that that you are giving me, but I want to step out in faith and trust that you're going to lead me to such a place. But that becomes risky sometimes. Are you with me? Because if the vision that God has given you, if the promise that God has given you is not costing you something, it's cheap. It always brings us to a place where we need to take the risk in following and trusting God because He's our sole provider. When He gives us those keys, He's the first one to be committed to actually back us up on the promises that He's given us. So what I always see when we go to many churches all around, you know, at Shofar, is that within this being in step principle, you ask them, you know, what's going on in your community? And they tell you, well, you know, this is the hardest ground that you've ever seen. Okay? You guys think here in London, because I hear this often, this is very, very, very hard ground. Here in Europe, it's very difficult to get people into the church. When I go to Franschhoek, they would say, this is very, very, very hard ground that we have here in Franschhoek. You know, just go into the graveyard and go and look at all the Freemason symbols there and just go and, whoo, this town, you know, they are against us. It's making life difficult for us. Okay. And if you go to, you know, any community, they will tell you that the place that they are serving and the ground that they must, you know, toil is actually so hard. And then the second question that you always ask them, so how are you going to actually break the ground that you're in? And you know that the answer is always what they are not. And I want to just explain that. For those communities that that are getting to the students, they will always tell you, we need more families in the church. So for the next year, we're only going to focus on families. You go to the student churches, to the family churches, and they say to you, oh, we need students and young people in this church. And wherever you go, they will always answer you in what is not happening in their church. Are you with me? Can I tell you this morning that God will always go where the little flame has started. And He wants you to fan the flame so that it will become a felt fire. We don't want to, naturally, we don't want to fan the little flame many times because our minds and hearts are always where God is not. We always want to work at the negative things in our lives and we want to work at the things that we've not accomplished and we are not content in what we have. So we ask God for things that's beyond even our sphere of influence. But can I tell you that there's already a little flame burning in your life? And God will always use that little flame. And as you start to blow that flame, God will start to bring it to a felt fire. And it will be an amazing thing happening. So if you spend time with God and you encounter Him, make sure to in thankfulness, already see what He's busy doing and follow that flame so that you can come to the felt fire. Are you with me this morning? The provision is already in your hand. God already gave you some flour. He gave you some oil. It's time to bake the little cake so that He can do awesome things in your life. But I see so many Christians being discontent and waiting for something and someone to happen in their lives, and they don't live in contentment with what God has given them already. I want to say to you, when we are in step with where God is moving, there will be little flames that God has already given us, so that we will be able to get to the felt fire that He wants to accomplish in our lives. So, in awakening that flame, it brings me to a place that I've mentioned previously, a place of expectation. If you have the Holy Spirit working in your life, and you have an expectation for Him to operate, He will always speak to you and allow you to come onto His page. But that expectation opens the door for us to allow Him to do more and greater things in our lives. Is it not so? I don't know if you've seen these groups that would go out and do miracles, you know, for God. And we've done it a lot in Shofar as well. Then they would come together and ask God what God would want to do the evening. And then they would go out and then they will see that same miracles that God has spoken to them about in the prayer meeting. And I've, you know, always asked God, God, why is it that we only see miracles when we pray for the miracles together and we trust You? Why can't that be a natural outflow of what's happening in our lives every day? And it all boils down to an expectation from our side to see God work in our lives. If you have that expectation, the Holy Spirit is always ready and God is always ready to work in your life. And God is always on a roll and is always fulfilling His promise in your life. But as soon as you can align yourself and start to see what He's seeing and to share the burden that is on His heart, and that's why Yankor even asked some of you in this week, what is the burden that God would have for your community? You know what? The sad thing is, if you don't know what's the burden on God's heart, you will never be able to serve your community. Because the burden on His heart is the key to unlock doors. Because if it's His burden, it must become your burden as well. Are you with me this morning? But you know what? We do all kinds of good things, good stuff, good Christian works, and we don't get to the God works of God's agenda in what He's busy doing and joining Him. So, that brings me to a place where we choose life, the one of faithfulness. And I just want to say, guys, for us to be able to move in a purposeful life where we can actually find the significance in what God has called us to, choosing that life starts with faithfulness. And Paul speaks about, you know, a lot of his sons being faithful in the ministry. And I can tell you, I many times hear Christians coming to you and saying, God has this dream for my life. You know, God has this purpose for my life. God has this awesome thing that I'm going to accomplish one day. But can I tell you, there's a few goals that God has that lines up toward the greatest purpose that God has for your life. If you want to become a doctor, that is a great aspiration. But guess what? It already starts in school. Because you must get great marks in order to qualify for university. In order to actually get through your subjects. But many Christians come to you and they tell you, God has this awesome plan for my life. And then when you just ask them, okay, but let's just start with step one. Can you just be faithful with a little? They are offended. Because how can you ask them to do this minor work now? They've got this great calling, so, you know. Because faithfulness leads us to a place where we can be entrusted with a little and we can grow into much. Listen to this. We don't lose our calling if we lose our job. We can live our calling even if we are unemployed or in work that doesn't fit us well. The reason why I'm mentioning this is, guys, I see many Christians waiting for God to do this awesome thing in their lives, and they don't see that God, in the midst of their circumstances now, just asks them to be faithful in what He has called them to do now. Because that great work will come, that great job will come, but that is not, you know, disqualifying what God is busy doing in the long run. But there's a few faithful steps that they must do in between. Listen to this. You'll not be judged according to what you did here on earth, but rather according to what you were called to do. Woo! Are you still with me? Guys, you are not called to do stuff, but to do the stuff that God has called you to do. Which means that you and I must align ourselves to God's promise for my life and your life. And it's going to look a lot different from the person next to me. And that's why Paul would say, don't strive. Make sure not to be in strife with your other fellow Christians, because it nullifies the work of the ministry. And I just want to say to you guys, we cannot strive or strive with somebody next to us if we don't have an understanding that God has called you to a specific purpose. And that's why I've got a problem with Martha being in the kitchen. I believe that Jesus did not have a problem with Martha being in the kitchen. But the fact that Martha had a problem with Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus doing the exact thing that Jesus has called her to do. And for Martha, this is very difficult because she is seeing it in context of, why do you get all the blessings from Jesus sitting at His feet and I'm actually doing a very noble thing here in the kitchen? And if Martha will just come to the place of understanding that I've been called to do a certain thing and be in the presence of God and follow that thing so that God can bless me in fulfilling that in my life, then I will be fine within the kingdom of God. And so I can tell you, or maybe I should first read this. We only have to be who God has created us to be. Brent Flick statement. Has created us to be. We are called to accomplish only what He has designed us to do. Now, you know, Reinhard Bonnke actually tells a story of God speaking to him years ago. And it was actually an assignment that he had to take the gospel to every home in the United Kingdom. I don't know if you remember that story. So he had to actually buy a publishing house and, you know, with millions and millions of pounds to get this assignment off the ground and to print all the material that they wanted to distribute into the different homes all around the UK. And he said, when he spoke to God, God said to him, listen, you were not my first choice. Reinhard, you're not even my second choice. You're actually my third choice, but because you are obedient, I'm going to bless you. And so I want to tell you, in being faithful, it means you and I come to a place where we say to God, God, I want to be obedient to your call upon my life. I want to be obedient to according to your agenda, because I know that being in that place is the best place to be. And so in that faithfulness, it brings us to a place that God will entrust more to us. Now, I want to say to you this morning, there's a reason why God sometimes don't give us new assignments. Why there's not a purpose in our lives and why we are not going to the next level. And the reason is, if you have a servant, if you had the privilege of commanding a person to do whatever you want them to do, and you give that person an assignment and they get it wrong every time, are you going to give them another assignment, or are you going to give that same assignment to somebody else that will do the job? Okay, are you still awake, guys? Just do this. I need some blood to flow here. The only way that God will give you purpose in life and give you even more is for you to accomplish the previous promise that He had and the command that He's given you in your life. So I many times sit with people and I say to them, listen, can we just talk about the dry patch in your life? Do you know that dry patch is actually designed for your life? That dry patch is actually a place where you need to get back to the previous time where God did speak to you. And maybe we have a problem here. Because maybe that previous assignment is not finished yet. And God, there's no reason for God to speak about this again until you can get back to His command so that you can finish the assignment that He has in store for you. So, about 5 years ago, I was at that place where I stopped my studies actually to come to London in 97 and or 96. No, 97. And I remember I came to London because, you know, at that stage I had a cornea transplant and I couldn't study. And I came to work and earn some pounds in the UK. And in that time, I had awesome, you know, experiences with God. That's the time that Margot also came. And we had awesome times. There was times where, you know, we fasted for her to get some work. And we would start the fast the Sunday. And we would say, okay, until she gets the work, we will keep on with this fast. Okay, and by Thursday, I would say to her, okay, Margot, it's now time to get a job here in London. Because I'm going to die. I remember those times. And then going back to South Africa, I would, you know, at that stage, go into the ministry and leave my studies. And so God would revisit that in my life years after, 5 years ago. And He would say to me, okay, can we just complete an assignment that I've started in your life? You've started well, but can we just talk about completing this assignment? Because I actually want you to follow it through. And I had to go and study again and start all over again and finish the degree. And it was a BCom degree, so it's got nothing to do with ministry. And it was very difficult for me to complete it because I was focusing on the ministry the whole time. And many times sitting before God and saying, God, this doesn't make sense. Why should I stress up so much? But it's an assignment that I had to finish in order to get to God's promise in my life. Are you with me? So I want to say to you this morning, some of us, you know, get all spooky and spiritual around God, but there's a faithfulness aspect that God wants to address in our lives first, because we cannot entrust us with more if we cannot be entrusted with the little riches that He has given us. Are you with me? So, 1 Samuel 17 verse 37 says, and David said, the Lord who delivers me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. There's certain lion and bear moments in your life that you need in order to grow to the promise that God has for your life. And can I just tell you, you need those bear and lion moments to refer back to, because when the tough times come, you can remind God, but you've been there for me for the lion, you've been there for the bear, and God, you will be here for this big Philistine to actually get him down, this giant that's coming against me. Every level has its devil. Don't think if you have accomplished what God has said in your life now that is the end of it. It's just a platform for a next point of growth that God wants to take you in. Because then it starts all over again where you trust God for the next growth point in your life. But if you have not overcome this one, you will not be able to go to the next. And guys, I just want to say to you, life is not always easy. Lions and bears are great obstacles to fulfill life's calling for you. But guess what? Your pastor cannot overcome the lion and the bear for you. And you cannot fulfill the lion and the bear overcoming moments in your small group members' life. They need to go through it by themselves. And people get offended in church because they've got an expectation that, ooh, the church had to be with me, you know, through all of this. And can I just tell you that this journey that you are walking is a journey that you must work your salvation through with God? And the church cannot take the blame, and the pastor cannot take the blame, and your leader and your small group leader cannot take the blame, and your boss at work cannot take the blame for you not overcoming the lion and the bear. You must do it yourself in walking that distance with God together with support from people around you. And so we as a church are committed to walk it with you. But guess what? We are just leading you to Christ because He's the victor in your life. There's no ways that we as the church or your leaders can walk that road with you without always referring you back to God and referring you back to Christ that is the victor in your life. So many times your pastor must just back off and get out of the way so that God can work in your life. Are you with me this morning? In overcoming that pain and that, you know, talking about just this morning, the eagle with the broken wing, there's no ways, if we don't turn to God and allow Him to heal us, that we will come to soar again. But the pastor or a new pastor or a new leader in your life is not going to fulfill that. It's God becoming a fresh revelation again, allowing Himself to manifest, be manifest in your life that brings the healing that's necessary. Are you with me? And so, you know, I want to just say to you, is it too late to pursue your calling? It's never too late. Ask the Phanafians. They are crazy people. I really admire you. I love you for what you represent. The fact that at any age, you are just obedient and faithful to God's calling upon your life. It's never too late. It always brings us back to the place of, are we going to step out in faith now? And can I just say that we often as Christians fall in the trap that we think that we are so mature in Christ that we don't need anything. We don't need to change at all. Or, you know, I've been there, I've bought the t-shirt, and yet God wants to bring us back to the place of challenge again. You've never arrived. If you can't get excited about the small things of life that Jesus gets excited about, when one person gets saved, when one person gets back to the heartbeat of God, we will always miss Him. Because it's the thankfulness of the little things, as Charlotte said. Those little things are the things that brings us back to the place where we can admit that God is alive in our lives. And so, I want to challenge you with the last thing, and I'm ending off this session. The biggest sign of maturity is something that I've seen in Peter and Paul's lives. 2 Peter 1 verse 14. Knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Can I just say this morning, this was Peter saying that he's going to die. But he was quite satisfied with the fact that Jesus showed him that the assignment that he had here on earth, It's finished. It's time to go back home. This man, and I can tell you, I'm not at that place yet. I'm still struggling to find out, God, where is that final destination? I know that there's something that you have done in my life until now, and I know that there's promises for the future ahead. But it's real maturity when you can say that, listen, there's a few things that God wants to establish in my life. And when I get there, I'm safe to go home. Because going home means that I will get the reward because Christ has done what he wanted in this little vessel to fulfill his life's promise. Paul was on the same page. He said in Acts 20 verse 24, but none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race. There's a race, a beginning and an end, with joy. And the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. John 17:4. I glorify you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. Jesus himself. Listen to this. Jesus knew exactly why he came to earth. I glorify you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. This is beautiful. I want to be in that place. Jeremiah 29, verse 13 to 14. Getting back to Jeremiah 29. Captivity. Keep that in mind. Verse 13 to 14. And you will seek me and find me. This is God saying. You, my people, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord. And I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I've driven you, says the Lord. And I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive. Let's stand quickly. I want to just trust God for a moment in your life right now. Before we pray for one another, guys, I want to say to you, there was one evening, and I'm trying to focus now, where I got into the passage. Sorry. of my house. And my daughter was there. Just crying out, Daddy, Daddy. And I was looking at her face. And she said to me, Dad, I was looking for you. Where were you? And I'm emotional about it because I knew that was a moment where God spoke to me. And he said to me, that's the way I feel about you, or you relating to you, where your daddy heart now crumbles for your daughter. And the fact that you understand your daughter's situation, calling out of desperation for you, that is where I want you to be with me. I often think that We miss God so many times in the small things of life. The life is really in the journey. And I know one day we will stand before God. Matthew 25, verse 21. And his master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." I want to be at that place where I want to be set apart for God and His purposes. I want to live this life out of the promises that God has given me. And I understand that to be in context with all the people around me and God doing awesome things in their lives, because I can see the Father in them. I can see the Father in you. And the beauty of this journey that we are walking with God and encountering Him every day is the fact that He's always there, never leaving us nor forsaking us. I love that about God, because I don't have all the answers. But I know when I go and sit here in the woods in the morning and I focus my eyes on Him and I say, "Dad, give me guidance. Show me your ways." I know there's a Father that speaks into my life. He says, "My son, I love you enough that I would take you where I'm going. Just connect to my promises, my purposes for your life." Let's bow our heads. Father, this morning, as we come to you and your promises, I know that your desire is to meet with each of one of us here personally. That, oh God, you love being around us. You love seeing us prosper in life and not to be depressed. Father, not to every day just look at our life circumstances and think that it's overwhelming us. But God, to bring a purpose in our lives, because not of our great calling, not because of the great things that we are going to establish in this life, but because we've partnered with you and we've walked this journey with you, and we choose this morning to walk this journey. And I want to ask you, Jesus, come and speak into our lives so that each one of us standing here will this morning find ourselves in the midst of your promise for our lives. I pray that, Father, if we've gone astray, if we've walked the wrong road, Father, even just gone just a little bit astray, I pray that you will guide us back into your fold again, so that your promises will become so clear to us again. Father, this morning, we want to trust that you will come and meet us directly where we are. And as we pray for one another, Father, I know that you will come and speak to us. In the name of Jesus. I want to, while the guitar is playing, to actually just turn to one another. And this morning, see this as sacred ground. Don't leave this place. Don't make a noise now. Please be in this place and in the presence of God for a few moments and allow God to come and encounter with you. You know, as I said, you can have all the exposure to Jesus. If you were Judas, you had all the exposure. You've seen all the miracles. You know that miracles does happen. You know that amazing things happens in Jesus' life. But until you come to the point where you say, "God, I choose to align myself with you and your promises, and I will do exactly what you've asked me to do," you will stay unfulfilled for the rest of your life. But God loves you enough that He will usher you into His presence to be transformed and choose to come to a place of fulfillment. Amen. Let's turn to one another. If you need some special prayer, we'll be in front praying for you. We want to trust that this weekend really is going to bless you. Pastor Fred will be speaking this afternoon about that growth in your life. He will go on this. But don't leave this place until you've communed with God, until you've connected to His heart. Amen. Great.